Star Wars, The Last Command by Timothy Zahn, continued. Cassette number 4, side 1. "This is Lando Calrissian, General," he said, striving for as much nonchalance as he could muster. "Is that you out there?"
"That's us," Bell Iblis acknowledged.
"We were out at Quat Cristac when we picked up your distress signal. I'm sorry we couldn't get here in time."
"So am I," Lando said. "What's it look like at the shield ship depot?"
"Afraid it's something of a mess," Bell Iblis said. "These shield ships of yours are too big to easily destroy, but the Imperials took a crack at it just the same. At the moment, this one seems to be the only one in any shape to fly."
"Well, it's all pretty academic anyway," Lando said. "Nomad City is done for."
"No way to get it moving again?"
"Not in the 20 days we've got before the Dawn Line catches up with us," Lando told him. "We might be able to dig it underground deep enough to last out a trip around the dayside, but we'd need heavy equipment that we haven't got."
"Maybe we can pull it off and key on entirely and take it to the outer system for repairs," Bell Iblis suggested. "An assault frigate and a couple of heavy lifters should do the trick if we can get another shield ship flying,
and can convince Admiral Akbar to divert an assault frigate from the battle planes," Lando reminded him.
"Point," Bell Iblis admitted. "I suppose I should hear the rest of the bad news. What all did the Empire get?"
Lando sighed. "Everything," he said. "All our stockpiles. Ephredium, Camrys, Dolovite, you name it. If we mined it, they got it."
"How much in all?"
"About 4 months' worth. A little over 3 million at current market prices."
For a moment, Bell Iblis was silent. "I didn't realize this place was that productive. Makes it all the more imperative that we persuade Coruscant to help you get up and running again. How many people do you have down there?"
"Just under 5,000, Lando told him. "Some of them are in pretty bad shape, though."
"I've had plenty of experience moving injured people," Bell Iblis said grimly. "Don't worry, we'll get them aboard. I'd like you to detail a group to stay behind and get the shield ships operational. We'll transport everyone else to Quat Cristac. Be as good a place as any for you to transmit a formal request for assistance to Coruscant."
"I didn't think there were any good places to transmit requests from," Lando growled.
"They've got a lot on their minds back there," Bell Iblis agreed. "For what it's worth, I'd say you've got a better-than-average chance that yours won't get lost in the shuffle."
Lando chewed at his lip. "So let's skip the shuffle entirely. Take me to Coruscant and let me talk to them in person."
"That'll cost you an extra 5 days in travel time," Bell Iblis pointed out. "Can you afford it?"
"Better 5 days spent that way than sitting around Quat Cristac wondering if my transmission has even gotten out of the communication center yet," Lando countered. "Figure 5 days to Coruscant, another day or two to talk Leia into reassigning a ship and lifters, and then 10 more to get them here and finish the job."
17 days. Cuts it pretty close."
"I don't have any better ideas. What do you say?"
Bell Iblis snorted gently. "Well, I'd been planning to head over to Coruscant soon anyway. Might as well be now."
"Thank you, General," Lando said.
"No problem. Better start getting your people ready. We'll be launching our shuttles as soon as we're in the planetary umbra."
"Right. See you soon."
Lando switched off the comm. It was a long shot, all right. He knew that much going in. But, realistically, it was the only shot he had. And besides, even if they turned him down flat, a trip to Coruscant right now wouldn't be such a bad idea. He'd get to see Leia and Han and the brand-new twins,
maybe even run into Luke or Wedge. He glanced out the viewport, his lip twisting. And on Coruscant, at least he wouldn't have to worry about Imperial attacks. Keying the intercom, he began issuing the evacuation orders. Chapter 8. Jason had fallen asleep midway through his dinner, but Jaina was still going at it. Lying on her side, Leia shifted position as much as she could on the bed without pulling out of her daughter's reach, and picked up her data pad again. By her own slightly fuzzy count, she tried at least 4 times to get through this page. 5th time's the charm, she commented wryly to Jaina, stroking her daughter's head with her free hand. Jaina, with more immediate things on her mind, didn't respond. For a moment, Leia gazed down at her daughter, a fresh surge of wonder rippling upward through her weariness. Those tiny hands that flailed gently and randomly against her body. The skullcap of short black hairs covering her head. That small face with its wonderfully earnest expression of infant concentration as she worked at eating. A brand new life, so fragile and yet so remarkably resilient. And she and Han had created it, had created both of them. Across the room, the door from the living areas of their suite opened. "Hi, sweetheart," Han called quietly. "Everything all right?" "Fine," she murmured back. "We're just having another dinner." "They eat like starving Wookiees," Han said, crossing to the bed and giving the situation a quick scan. "Jason done already?" "Just wanted a snack, I guess," Leia said, craning her neck to look at the sleeping baby lying on the bed behind her. "He'll probably want the second course in an hour or so." "I wish they'd get together on scheduling," Anne said, sitting carefully down on the side of the bed and easing the tip of his forefinger into Jason's palm. The tiny hand curled reflexively around his finger, and Leia looked up at her husband in time to see his familiar lopsided grin. "He's going to be a strong one." "You should feel the grip at this end," Leia told him, looking back at Jaina. "Is Lando still downstairs?" "Yeah, he and Bel Iblis are still talking to Admiral Drayson," Han said, reaching over to rest his free hand on Leia's shoulder. The warmth felt good through her thin dressing gown. Almost as good as the warmth of his thoughts against her mind. Still trying to convince him to divert a couple of ships to Enkeon. "How does it look?" Han wiggled his finger gently in Jason's grip, plucking softly at his sleeping son. "Not too good," he admitted. "We're not going to get Nomad City off the ground without something the size of an assault frigate. Drayson isn't exactly eager to pull anything that big off the line." "Did you point out how much we need the metals Lando's been mining there?" "I mentioned it. He wasn't impressed." "You have to know how to talk to Drayson." Leia looked down at Jaina. She was still going at it, but her eyes were beginning to drift closed. "Maybe when Jaina's asleep, I can go downstairs and give Lando a hand." "Right," Han said dryly. "No offense, sweetheart, but falling asleep on the table is not going to impress anyone." Leia made a face at him. "I'm not that tired, thank you. And I'm certainly getting as much sleep as you are." "Not even close," Han said, shifting his hand from Leia's shoulder to stroke Jaina's cheek. "I get to doze in the middle of those late-night feedings." "You shouldn't be waking up for them at all," Leia said. "Winter or I could get the babies out of their crib just as well as you can." "Nice," Han said in mock indignation. "You know, you thought I was pretty handy to have around before the kids showed up. Now you don't need me anymore, huh? Just go ahead and toss me aside." Of course I need you, Leia soothed him. As long as most of the droids are out on defense duty, and there are two babies who have to be changed, you'll always have a place here.
Oh, great, Han growled. I think I'd rather get tossed aside.
It's way too late for that, Leia assured him, stroking his hand and turning serious again. I know you want to help, Han, and I really do appreciate it. I just feel guilty.
Well, don't, Han told her, taking her hand and squeezing it. We old-time smugglers are used to strange hours, remember? He glanced over at the door to Winter's room. Winter gone to bed already?
No, she hasn't come back up yet, Leia said, stretching her mind toward the room.
As near as she could tell, it was indeed empty.
She's got some project of her own going downstairs. I don't know what.
I do, Han said, his sense turning thoughtful. She's been down in the library sifting through the old Alliance archives. Leia craned her neck to study his face.
Trouble?
I don't know, Han said slowly. Winter doesn't talk much about what she's thinking. Not to me, anyway. But she's worried about something. Beyond the door, Leia caught the flicker of another presence.
She's back, she told Han. I'll see if I can get her to tell me about it.
Good luck, Han grunted, giving Leia's hand one last squeeze and standing up. I guess I'll go back downstairs, see if I can help Lando sweet-talk Drayson a little.
The two of you ought to get him into a sabacc game, Leia suggested. Play for ships, like you and Lando did with the Falcon. Maybe you can win an assault frigate.
What, playing against Drayson? Han said with a snort. Thanks, hon, but Lando and I wouldn't know what to do with a fleet of our own. I'll see you later.
Okay. I love you, Han.
He gave her another lopsided smile. I know, he said, and left. With a sigh, Leia adjusted her shoulder against the pillow and half turned toward Winter's room.
Winter, she called softly.
There was a short pause, then the door swung quietly open.
Yes, Your Highness, Winter asked, stepping into the room. I'd like to talk to you for a minute if it's convenient, Leia said.
Of course, Winter said, gliding forward in that wonderfully graceful way of hers that Leia had always envied.
I think Jason's asleep. Shall I put him in the crib?
Please, Leia nodded.
Han tells me you've been doing some research in the old Alliance archives.
Winter's face didn't change, but Leia could sense the subtle change in her sense and body language.
Yes. May I ask why?
Carefully, Winter lifted Jason from the bed and carried him toward the crib.
I think I may have discovered an Imperial agent in the palace, she said. I was trying to confirm that.
Leia felt the hairs on the back of her neck stand up.
Who is it? I'd really rather not make any accusations before I have more information, Winter said. I could easily be wrong.
I appreciate your scruples, Leia said, but if you have an idea about this Delta Source information leak, we need to know about it right away.
This isn't connected with Delta Source, Winter said, shaking her head. At least not directly. She hasn't been here long enough for that.
Leia frowned at her, trying to read her sense. There was a great deal of worry there, running squarely into an equally strong desire not to throw around hasty allegations.
Is it Mara Jade? She asked.
Winter hesitated.
Yes, but again, I don't have any proof.
What do you have?
Not very much, Winter said, tucking the blanket carefully around Jason. Really, only a short conversation with her when I was escorting her up from the medical section. She asked me what I did during the height of the rebellion, and I told her about my job with supply and procurement. She then identified me as Targeter.
Leia thought back. Winter had had so many code names during that time.
Was that incorrect?
No, I had that name for a short time, Winter said.
Which is the point, really? I was only known as Targeter for a few weeks on Aberam, before Imperial Intelligence broke the cell there.
I see, Leia said slowly. And Mara wasn't with the Avarists?
I don't know, Winter said, shaking her head. I never met more than a few of that group. That's why I've been searching the records. I thought there might be a complete listing somewhere.
I doubt it, Leia said.
Local cells like that almost never kept personnel files. It would be a group death warrant if it fell into Imperial hands.
I know.
Winter looked across the crib at her.
Which rather leaves us at an impasse.
Perhaps, Leia said, gazing past Winter and trying to pull together everything she knew about Mara. It wasn't all that much. As far as she knew, Mara had never claimed any past alliance affiliation, which would tend to support Winter's suspicions. On the other hand, it had been less than 2 months since she'd enlisted Luke to help her free Carda from a detention cell on Grand Admiral Thrawn's own flagship. That didn't make much sense if she was an Imperial agent herself.
I think, she told Winter slowly, that whatever side Mara was once on, she's not there anymore. Any loyalty she has now is probably to Carda and his people.
Winter smiled faintly.
Is that Jedi insight, Your Highness, or just your trained diplomatic opinion?
Some of each, Leia said. I don't think we have anything to fear from her.
I hope you're right.
Winter gestured.
Shall I put Jaina to bed now?
Leia looked down. Jaina's eyes were closed tightly, her tiny mouth making soft sucking motions at the empty air.
Yes, thank you, she said, giving her daughter's cheek one final caress.
Is that reception for the Sarkhan delegation still going on downstairs?
She asked as she rolled away from Jaina and stretched cramped muscles.
It was when I passed by, Winter said, picking Jaina up and setting her in the crib next to Jason. Mon Mothma asked me to suggest you drop in for a few minutes if you had the chance.
Yes, I'll bet she did, Leia said, getting off the bed and crossing to the wardrobe.
One of the little side benefits of having twin infants on her hands was that she finally had an armor-plated excuse for getting out of these superficial government functions that always seemed to take up more time than they were worth. Now, here was Mon Mothma, trying to chicane her back into that whole crazy runaround again.
And I'm sorry to have to disappoint her, she added. But I'm afraid I have something more urgent to do right now. Will you watch the twins for me?
Certainly, Winter said. May I ask where you'll be?
From the wardrobe, Leia selected something more suitable for public wear than her dressing gown and started to change.
I'm going to see what I can find out about Mara Jade's past, she said.
She could sense Winter's frown all the way across the room.
May I ask how?
Leia smiled tightly.
I'm going to ask her.
He stood before her, his face half hidden by the cowl of his robe, his yellow eyes piercingly bright as they gazed across the infinite distance between them. His lips moved, but his words were drowned out by the throaty hooting of alarms all around them,
filling Mara with an urgency that was rapidly edging into panic. Between her and the Emperor, two figures appeared. The dark, imposing image of Darth Vader, and the smaller, black-clad figure of Luke Skywalker. They stood before the Emperor, facing each other, and ignited their lightsabers. The blades crossed, brilliant red-white against brilliant green-white, and they prepared for battle. And then, without warning, the blades disengaged, and with twin roars of hatred audible even over the alarms, both turned and strode toward the Emperor. Mara heard herself cry out as she struggled to rush to her master's aid. But the distance was too great, her body too sluggish. She screamed a challenge, trying to at least distract them. But neither Vader nor Skywalker seemed to hear her. They moved outward to flank the Emperor, and as they lifted their lightsabers high, she saw that the Emperor was gazing at her. She looked back at him, wanting desperately to turn away from the coming disaster, but unable to move. A thousand thoughts and emotions flooded in through that gaze, a glittering kaleidoscope of pain and fear and rage that spun far too fast for her to really absorb. The Emperor raised his hands, sending cascades of jagged blue-white lightning at his enemies. Both men staggered under the counterattack, and Mara watched with the sudden, agonized hope that this time it might end differently. But no. Vader and Skywalker straightened, and with another roar of rage, they lifted their lightsabers high. And then, over the raised lightsabers came a roll of distant thunder. And with a jerk that nearly threw her out of her chair, Mara snapped out of the dream. She took a deep, shuddering breath against the flood of post-dream emotion, against the turmoil of pain, anger, and loneliness. But this time, she wasn't going to have the luxury of working her way through the tangle in solitude. From outside her room, she could vaguely sense another presence. And even as she rolled out of the desk chair into a reflexive combat crouch, the roll of thunder from her dream, a quiet knock, was repeated. For a long moment, she considered keeping quiet, then seeing if whoever it was would decide the room was empty and go away. But the light from her room, she knew, would be visible beneath the old-style hinged door. And if the person out there was who she suspected, he wouldn't be fooled by silence anyway. "Come in," she called. The door unlocked and swung open. But it wasn't Luke Skywalker who stood there. "Hello, Mara." Leia Organa Solo nodded to her. "Am I interrupting anything?" "Not at all," Mara said politely, suppressing a grimace. The last thing she wanted right now was company, particularly company that was in any way associated with Skywalker. But as long as she and Ghent were still stuck here, it wouldn't be smart to deliberately alienate someone of Organa Solo's influence. "I was just reading some of the news reports from the battle regions. Please come in." "Thank you," Organa Solo said, stepping past her into the suite. "I was looking over those same reports a little while ago. Grand Admiral Thrawn is certainly justifying the late Emperor's confidence in his ability." Mara threw her a sharp look, wondering what Skywalker had told her. But Organa Solo's eyes were turned toward the window and the lights of the Imperial City below. And what little Mara could discern of the other woman's sense didn't seem to be taunting. "Yes, Thrawn was one of the best," she said. "Brilliant and innovative, with an almost compulsive thirst for victory." "Perhaps he needed to prove he was the equal of the other Grand Admirals," Organa Solo suggested, "particularly given his mixed heritage and the Emperor's feelings toward non-humans." "I'm sure that was part of it," Mara said. Morgana Solo took another step toward the window, her back still turned to Mara.
Did you know the Grand Admiral well?
She asked.
Not really, Mara said cautiously. He communicated with Karda a few times when I was there, and visited our Mirkur base once. He had a big business going in Mirkur's Isalamiri for a while. Karda once figured they'd hauled 5,000 or 6,000 of them out of there.
I meant, did you know him during the war? Morgana Solo said, turning finally to face her. Mara returned her gaze steadily. If Skywalker had told her... But if he'd told her, why wasn't Mara in a detention cell somewhere? No, Morgana Solo had to be on a fishing expedition.
Why should I have known Thrawn during the war? She countered.
Morgana Solo shrugged fractionally.
There's been a suggestion made that you might once have served with the Empire. And you wanted to make sure before you locked me up.
I wanted to see if you might have knowledge about the Grand Admiral we could use against him, Morgana Solo corrected. Mara snorted.
There isn't anything, she said. Not with Thrawn. He has no patterns, no favorite strategies, no discernible weaknesses. He studies his enemies and tailors his attacks against psychological blind spots. He doesn't overcommit his forces, and he's not too proud to back off when it's clear he's losing, which doesn't happen very often, as you're finding out.
She cocked an eyebrow.
Any of that help you?
She added sarcastically.
Actually, it does, Morgana Solo said. If we can identify the weaknesses he's planning to exploit, we might be able to anticipate the thrust of his attack. That's not going to be easy, Mara warned.
Morgana Solo smiled faintly.
No, but it gives us a place to start. Thank you for your help.
You're welcome, Mara said, the words coming out automatically.
Was there anything else?
No, I don't think so, Morgana Solo said, stepping away from the window and heading for the door.
I need to get back and get some sleep before the twins wake up again, and you'll probably want to be going to bed soon, too. And I'm still free to move around the palace?
Morgana Solo smiled again.
Of course. Whatever you did in the past, it's clear you're not serving with the Empire now. Good night.
She turned to the door, reached for the handle.
I'm going to kill your brother, Mara told her. Did he tell you that?
Morgana Solo stiffened just noticeably, and Mara could sense the ripple of shock run through that Jedi-trained calmness. Her hand on the door handle dropped back to her side.
No, he didn't, she said, her back still to Mara. May I ask why? He destroyed my life, Mara told her, feeling the old ache deep in her throat and wondering why she was even telling Morgana Solo this. You're wrong. I didn't just serve with the Empire. I was a personal agent of the Emperor himself. He brought me here to Coruscant and the Imperial Palace and trained me to be an extension of his will across the galaxy. I could hear his voice from anywhere in the Empire and knew how to give his orders to anyone from a stormtrooper brigade all the way up to a Grand Moff. I had authority and power and a purpose in life. They knew me as the Emperor's hand, and they respected me the same way they did him. Your brother took all that away from me.
Morgana Solo turned back to face her.
I'm sorry, she said, but there was no other choice. The lives and freedom of billions of beings... I'm not going to debate the issue with you, Mara cut her off. You couldn't possibly understand what I've been through.
A shadow of distant pain crossed Organa Solo's face.
You're wrong, she said quietly. I understand very well.
Mara glared at her, but it was a glare without any real force of hatred behind it. Leia Organa Solo of Alderaan, who'd been forced to watch as the first Death Star obliterated her entire world.
At least you had a life to go to afterward, she growled at last. You had the whole rebellion, more friends and allies than you could even count. I had no one.
It must have been hard.
I survived it, Mara said briefly. So now are you going to have me hauled off to detention?
Those Alderaanian cultured eyebrows lifted slightly.
You keep suggesting that I should have you locked up. Is that what you want? I already told you what I want. I want to kill your brother.
Do you? Organa Solo asked.
Do you really?
Mara smiled thinly.
Bring him here and I'll prove it.
Organa Solo studied her face, and Mara could feel the tenuous touch of her rudimentary Jedi senses as well.
From what Luke's told me, it sounds like you've already had several chances to kill him,
Organa Solo pointed out.
You didn't take them. It wasn't from lack of intent, Mara said.
But it was a thought that had been gnawing at her as well.
I just keep getting into situations where I need him alive. But that'll change.
Perhaps, Organa Solo said, her eyes still moving across Mara's face.
Or perhaps it's not really you who wants him dead.
Mara frowned.
What's that supposed to mean?
Organa Solo's gaze drifted away from Mara to the window, and Mara could feel a tightening of the other woman's sense.
I was at Endor a couple of months ago, she said.
An icy sensation crawled up Mara's spine. She'd been at Endor too, taken there to face Grand Admiral Thrawn. And she remembered what the space around the world of the Emperor's death had felt like.
And?
She prompted. Even to herself, her voice sounded strained. Organa Solo heard it too.
You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
She asked, her eyes still on the lights of the Imperial City.
There's some shadow of the Emperor's presence still there, some of that final surge of hatred and anger, like a, I don't know what.
Like an emotional bloodstain, Mara said quietly, the image springing spontaneously and vividly into her mind.
Marking the spot where he died.
She looked at Organa Solo to find the other woman's eyes on her.
Yes, Organa Solo said. That's exactly what it was like.
Mara took a deep breath, forcing the black chill from her mind.
So what does that have to do with me?
Organa Solo studied her.
I think you know.
You will kill Luke Skywalker.
No,
Mara said, her mouth suddenly dry.
You're wrong.
Am I? Organa Solo asked softly.
You said you could hear the Emperor's voice from anywhere in the galaxy. I could hear his voice, Mara snapped. Nothing more.
Organa Solo shrugged slightly.
You know best, of course. It might still be worth thinking about. I'll do that, Mara said stiffly. If that's all, you can go.
Organa Solo nodded, her her sense showing no irritation at being dismissed like some minor underling.
"Thank you for your assistance," she said. "I'll talk with you later."
With a final smile, she pulled the door open and left.
"Don't count on it,"
Mara muttered after her, turning back to the desk and dropping into the chair. This had gone far enough. If Carter was too preoccupied with business to get in touch with his contact man, then the contact man himself was going to get her and Ghent out of here. Pulling up her code file, she keyed for long-range comm access. The response was prompt. "Unable to access," the words scrolled across her display. "Long-range communications system temporarily down."
"Terrific," she growled under her breath. "How soon till it's back up?"
"Unable to determine." Repeating, "Long-range communication system temporarily down." With a curse, she shut the terminal off. The whole universe seemed to be against her tonight. She picked up the data pad she'd been reading earlier, put it down again, and stood back up. It was late. She'd already fallen asleep once at her desk, and if she had any sense, she would just give it up and go to bed. Stepping across to the window, she leaned against the carved wooden frame and gazed out at the city lights stretching halfway to infinity, and tried to think. No, it was impossible. Impossible, absurd, and unthinkable. Morgana Solo could waste as much breath as she wanted spinning these clever speculations of hers. After 5 years of living with this thing, Mara ought to know her own thoughts and feelings, ought to know what was real and what wasn't. And yet, the image of the dream rose up before her. The Emperor gazing at her with bitter intensity as Vader and Skywalker closed in on him. The unspoken but tangible accusation in those yellow eyes, that it was her failure to take care of Skywalker at Jabba the Hutt's hideout that had caused this. That flood of powerless rage as the two lightsabers were lifted over him. That final cry ringing forever through her head. "You will kill Luke Skywalker."
"Stop it," she snarled,
slapping the side of her head hard against the window jamb. The image and words exploded into a flash of pain and a shower of sparks and vanished. For a long time, she just stood there, listening to the rapid thudding of her heartbeat in her ears, the conflicting thoughts chasing each other around her mind. Certainly, the Emperor would have wanted Skywalker dead. But Morgana Solo was still wrong. She had to be. It was Mara herself who wanted to kill Luke Skywalker, not some ghost from the past. Far across the city, a multicolored light rippled gently against the surrounding buildings and clouds overhead, jolting her out of her musings. The clock at the ancient central gathering hall marking the hour as it had for the past 3 centuries. The light changed texture and rippled again, then winked out. 12:30. Lost in her thoughts, Mara hadn't realized it had gotten that late. And all of this wasn't accomplishing anything anyway. She might as well go to bed and try to put the whole thing out of her mind long enough to get some sleep. With a sigh, she pushed away from the window and froze. Deep in the back of her mind, the quiet alarm bell had just gone off. Somewhere nearby, there was danger. She slid her tiny blaster out of its forearm holster, listening hard. Nothing. Glancing back once at the window, wondering briefly if anyone was watching her through the privacy laminate, she moved silently to the door. Putting her ear against it, she listened again. For a moment, there was nothing. Then, Almost inaudible through the thick wood, she heard the sound of approaching footsteps. Footsteps with the kind of quiet but purposeful stride that she had always associated with combat professionals. She tensed. But the footsteps passed her door without pausing, fading away toward the far end of the hallway. She waited a count of 10 to let them get a good lead on her. Then, carefully, she opened her door and looked outside. There were 4 of them, dressed in the uniforms of palace security, walking in a bent diamond formation. They reached the hallway and slowed as the point man eased a quick look around it. His hand curved slightly, and all 4 continued around the corner and disappeared, heading toward the stairway that led down to the central sections of the palace below, or up to the tower and the permanent residential suites above. Mara stared after them, her fatigue gone in a surge of adrenaline. The bent diamond formation, the obvious caution, the hand signal, and her own premonition of danger, they all pointed to the same conclusion. Imperial intelligence had penetrated the palace. She turned back toward her desk, stopped short with a quiet curse. One of the first tasks the team would have carried out would have been to get into the palace's computer and comm systems. Any attempt to sound the alarm would probably be intercepted and would certainly tip them off. Which meant that, if they were going to be stopped, she was going to have to do it herself. Gripping her blaster tightly, she slipped out of her room and headed after them. She'd made it to the corner and was just easing forward for a careful look when she heard the quiet click of a blaster safety behind her. "All right, Jade," a voice murmured in her ear. "Nice and easy. It's all over." Chapter 9. Admiral Drayson leaned back in his seat and shook his head. "I'm sorry, Calrissian, General Bell Iblis," he said for probably the 10th time since the session had begun. "We just can't risk it." Lando took a deep breath, trying to scrape together a few last shards of patience. This was his sweat and work that Drayson was casually throwing away. "Admiral..." "It's not that much of a risk, Admiral," Bell Iblis cut in smoothly, and with far more courtesy than Lando had left at his disposal. "I've shown you at least 8 places we could draw an assault frigate from, which would have it out of service less than 10 days. Grayson snorted. "At the rate he's going, Grand Admiral Thrawn could take 3 more sectors in 10 days. You want to give him a shot at 4? "Admiral, we're talking a single assault frigate here," Lando said. "Not a dozen star cruisers or an orbital battle station. What could Thrawn possibly have up his sleeve where one assault frigate could make or break the attack? What could he do against a heavily defended shipyard with a single rigged freighter?" Drayson retorted. "Face it, gentlemen. When you go up against someone like Thrawn, all the usual rules get tossed out the lock." This book is continued at this point on the other side of this cassette. Please reverse or turn the cassette over now.